We're turning in our Bibles this evening, please, to the book of Revelation. That's the final book in God's Word, the book of Revelation. And we're turning to the third chapter, please. And we're going to read from the verse 17. Revelation, please. And chapter 3 and the verse 17. I would like to ask the question this evening, who is knocking at your door? Who is knocking at your door? Revelation chapter 3, please. And we're reading from the verse 17. And speaking to the church in Laodicea, these are the words of the Lord. Verse 17, and it reads this: Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to each of our hearts this evening. And we're going to make our text this evening, verse 20, from what we have read. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Is someone knocking at your door? Tonight we're dealing with one of the deepest truths that is found in all of Scripture. And as we deal with this deep and profound truth, I want to charge you to listen carefully to what I say as we unpack this verse. This verse, in its primary context, was written to a very wealthy and affluent church. But many preachers over the years with evangelical insight have noted that within this church were individuals who had never responded to the gospel. And this verse, I believe, is written to people who have heard the gospel cry many times, yet not responded to the call of salvation. Now we're going to ask three questions as we consider this evening. Three questions. And the first of those is this: who is knocking at your door? Who is it that's knocking at the door in this verse? Look at the verse, chapter 3, verse 20. Look at the first part. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who is the I? Behold, says the verse. Behold means to look. It means to open your eyes. It means to sit up and to pay attention. You know, really what the word behold in our verse could be paired with is an exclamation mark. When you see the word behold in Scripture, it's not a gentle request. It's a command. It wants the listener to sit up and listen carefully. When God uses the word behold, He's grabbing us by the collar. He's urging us to notice something incredible that we're currently ignoring. Behold is the message that the world needs. When we read it, it comes as a call to abandon everything, to abandon all distractions, and to pay attention to what really matters. So I plead with you, dear friend, tonight. I plead with you, at the very least, for the next 20 minutes of your life, that you behold, you pay attention, You open your eyes to who it is that's knocking at your door. There's a story told about a lady who several years ago was in distress because she couldn't pay her rent. And she was expecting the authorities to come to her and to seize the home and to take her belongings away. And her pastor heard about her trouble and he went to her door with the money to cover the price of her rent. And he knocked the door and he knocked the door and he knocked a few of the ground floor windows. In fact, he tried everything he could to get an answer from her, but there was no answer. And so giving up, he left and he took the money with him. He wanted to place the money directly in the lady's hand to ensure that she got it. The lady hadn't opened her door because she thought it was the authorities coming to carry away every material possession she had, to take it out of her house. And she had barred every door and she had barred every window. Because of that, she hadn't paid heed to who it was knocking at her door. And it was the person who wanted to help her the most. I wonder, is that the story of someone here this evening? I wonder, dear friend, has there been many times when Christ has stood and he's knocked at the door of your heart? You see, the verse here, it says, behold, pay attention, sit up, behold I. Dear friends, it's the Lord Jesus who speaks. It's the Lord Jesus using this earthly illustration of a door being knocked. And he says that it is he that stands at your heart's door and he knocks. It is the great and sovereign King of glory that stands at your heart's door. It's the King of the universe. The one who spoke and the sun was hung in its place. It's the one who spoke and flung the stars into space. It's the one who spoke this very world into existence. It's the Lord Jesus. He stands at your heart's door. And he knocks your door. And the Lord Jesus, he's standing and he's waiting admission into your life. Are you going to let him in? Have you responded to his voice? Have you responded to his pleading? Have you let him in? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I wonder if you ever stood at someone's door and not got a response and it's so clear that they're in the house. It's a frustrating experience. I remember when I was a wee boy, one of the first times maybe I was left in the house of my own, someone came and knocked the door and I jumped behind the settee. And they knocked the door and I didn't go and answer. It's a frustrating experience. Maybe as you've pulled into someone's drive, you've caught a glimpse of them in the window and you know they're in, you knock their door and there's no response. That's the picture that's being painted here by the Lord Jesus. He's saying to you, behold, I stand at the door of your heart. I stand at the door of your life and I'm knocking the door and I want to come in. And you've heard that knock many times. Maybe up until now you've left the Lord Jesus outside the door. The Savior may have been gently knocking at the door of your heart. But can I ask, when are you going to let him in? How many times does he need to knock? You're here tonight and you know about heaven. And you've heard about hell. And you've heard about that there's one road to salvation. And you've heard many preachers, even from this pulpit, and others who have pleaded with you to respond to Christ. And you've heard God's word. And you've felt even the tug of the Spirit of God in your soul. And yet you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You see, to become a Christian, it's not something that's very difficult. It's not complicated. There are some people who come up with all kinds of excuses not to become a Christian. Some say that they're waiting for this Eureka moment, some shining light. There's some say that, well, I'm waiting, Peter, and I'm going to get my life all sorted out first. Some question the Scriptures and its authenticity, even though they can see the evidence of Christ all around them and how he changes lives. That's why we bring in people to give their testimonies, to share of how Christ has transformed their lives, because it's real. And Christ changes lives. And he's still in the business of saving souls today. Maybe you think you need to hear some audible voice. Listen, all you need to do is to respond to the Saviour and let him in. You see, becoming a Christian has got everything to do with the Lord Jesus. And as the old-fashioned gospel is preached to you again this evening, that message that is so old yet ever new, can't you hear the knock again? Yet again, Christ is knocking at your life's door. Here the Creator is standing, and he stands at the door of the created. Here is the immortal one standing at a mortal's heart. Here is the holy God knocking at the heart of the sinner. Here is the crucified one knocking at the door of those for whom he was crucified. Who is the Saviour that seeks submission into your life? Who is it that stands at the door of your life? Well, this very passage tells us. Look at verse 14 in Revelation chapter 3. It says, "These things saith the Amen." What does that mean? The word Amen is often used in Scripture to affirm the truthfulness of a statement. It's an affirmation. It's a verbal guarantee that it is what has been said is true. And when the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again," it was absolutely true. By saying that, he was telling Nicodemus that he needed Christ as his Savior and to start a new life in Christ. Can I ask you, have you ever started a new life in Christ? That's the only way to live happily. That's the only way to know life eternal. You know, when the Lord Jesus spoke about hell, he spoke about it in love, because he doesn't want you to go there. But the great Amen, he stands between you and hell tonight, and he knocks at your heart's door, and he wants you to let him in. Our Lord is the fixed, firm, certain, faithful, unchangeable Amen. Because he is true all the time in every way. Christ, in fact, is the Amen to God's promises. He's the Amen to God's covenants. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." God's promises are validated in Christ. They are made certain in Christ. He is God's Amen, the one who confirms all divine promises. And this, of course, is to establish his glory and his truthfulness and his unity with the Father. You see, the Lord Jesus says that if you die in your sins, you cannot go to where he is. When he said that, he was speaking the truth. Dear unconverted friend, please don't listen to my words tonight. Hear the voice of the Savior. You see, he'll never pull wool over your eyes. He'll never tell you a half-truth. He'll tell you how it is. And the Bible records the words that he said. He is the truthful one. But the passage doesn't just tell us that he's the truthful one. It also tells us that he's the faithful one. Look at verse 14 again. It says that he is the faithful. And he is the true witness. He's accurate. He's trustworthy. How can I say it? Because he's proved it 1,000 times over. We're told again in verse 14, he's the beginning of the creation of God. He's the powerful one. I wonder, have you ever stood and looked out at the beauty of the beaches and waves crashing in at the north coast here in Northern Ireland? I wonder, have you ever stood on a clear night gazing at the beauty of the night sky and gazing at the stars? I wonder, have you ever climbed to the peaks in the Mourne Mountains and admired the beauty all around you? Or even stood at the foot of Slieve Donard there in Newcastle and looked up? I wonder, have you ever considered the complexity of your body and how it works? The powerful one who created all these things and even more stands at your heart's door. Can you hear his voice? He's saying, "Let me in." The Bible says all things were made by him. Not a blade of grass grows without his permission. Not a speck of dust moves without his permission. Maybe you say tonight, "You don't know me, Peter. I'm not a good person. I've done terrible things. And I'm involved in terrible things. And I'm not sure that I could live the Christian life. I couldn't do it myself." Well, you're absolutely right. Not one person in this world could keep the faith themselves. That's why you must consider carefully who it is that's knocking at your heart's door. That's why you must consider carefully that you would open up that door and let him in. The person who's knocking, he doesn't want you to try and change yourself. No, no. The one who's knocking at your heart's door tonight is the powerful one. And if you open the door of your life and let him in this evening, he will make the changes. He will make the changes, because the Bible tells us once you let him in, we become a new creature in Christ, and all the former things are passed away. Behold, everything becomes new. If only you let him in. The first step is this: let Christ into your life. He has transforming power tonight, if only you let him in. Listen to what our verse says. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door." It's the Lord who's present at the door of your heart. Maybe a hard heart. You could have been pushing him away for a very long time. But the miracle is that his presence is still there. Still there knocking your door. Still there patiently waiting for you. You know, if someone was standing at the door of your house tonight, if it was a family or friends, it wouldn't really take you by surprise. But if it was a Rolls Royce came rolling up the drive with the standard of the King, I'm sure you would very quickly open the door and let him in. Or what if it was the presidential car rolled up and the President of the United States of America knocked your door? I'm sure you would open your door then. That would be amazing. My friend, something more amazing is that the Creator of the world, the Savior of the world, the Son of God, the Christ who died for your sin at Calvary, the Christ who rose triumphantly from the dead, proving his power over death and hell, is standing at your door. Does that not astound you? That Christ, the Savior, the future ruler of this world, is standing at the door of your life. He isn't going to force entry. He's not going to force entry into your heart. You must open the door for him and let him in. But are you going to let him in? It's simple. It's not complicated. Let Christ into your life. He's been so patient. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice..." You've heard the knock many times. You've heard the voice many times. The Word of God, each time it's proclaimed, you hear that knock and you hear that voice. You've heard it all. Maybe you've felt the tugging of the Holy Spirit upon your heart and soul many times. Maybe you've sat in these very pews and the tears have rolled down your cheeks as you consider your sin and you've considered the one who died for you, yet still you haven't opened the door. Maybe you've been handed a gospel tract in the street and you've come home and you've shut the door and you've read the tract and you've understood the tract and the Savior was calling to you, knocking the door, and still you haven't responded. Maybe some weeks you've gone to work and you can't get out of your head what the preacher said on Sunday night, or some mission that you attended to. Maybe you've heard God's knock through a serious life illness. You maybe came face to face with death, caused you to think about eternity. But those thoughts have left you now because you're okay now. Through an accident, through a tragedy, through a financial mishap, through a death. Maybe that's how the Savior's been knocking at your door. And yet again tonight his voice is speaking. God's word says the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. Someday the final knock will come at your door. And his mercy, you see, it will become redundant. When you die, if you haven't let him in, you'll go to the sinner's hell. And can I say this tonight? If that's the case and you've heard the gospel your whole life, your blood will be in your own hands. Your blood will be in your own hands. When the Savior patiently knocked at your door right throughout your life. You know, the Bible says in Job, God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Christ has been so patient with you. Sooner or later, the knock will be the last one. The call will be the last one. And you'll go out into a Christless eternity. So the question we must ask secondly is, are you going to open the door? Look at the verse, it says, if any man hear my voice and open the door. You've got to open the door. I mean, it's so simple, it's not complicated. You know, I like the way another preacher puts it. How do you open the door of salvation? Because that's what it is, it's the door of salvation. Well, you must see your need, you must sense your need, and you must show your need. Listen, I'll put it straight to you tonight. The verse puts it plain and simple. Heaven can be yours. The verse says, if any man, he shed his blood for all, and he died for all, and his atonement on the cross is universal, you can claim heaven as your home tonight, because it says, if any man, that means you, any man, any woman, no matter who you are, what kind of person you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you haven't done, no matter what type of life you've lived, Christ is standing at your door, and he's waiting for your response, dear friend. You need to see your need. I mean, at the end of the day, why would you need to be saved? You need to be saved because without Christ you're under God's wrath. Because of sin, we are by nature deserving, the Bible says, of God's wrath. Without responding to Christ's knock, without responding to Christ's voice, without salvation, you're condemned. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 18, he that believeth on him, on the Lord Jesus Christ, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The Lord Jesus himself bore our sins in his own body in the tree, and he has borne your condemnation, if only you would trust him, because for those who let Christ in, the scripture says, for there is therefore now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. I wonder, can you see your need? You're under condemnation without Christ. You're on your way to a Christless eternity, and you're under God's wrath. You need forgiveness of sin. You need peace with God. You need to be sure that you're going where you're going to spend eternity. You know, the people in this passage this evening to whom the Lord Jesus originally said this to, they couldn't see their need in life. Life was good. Life was going well. Everything was fine without Christ. And they were looking at the world. They were looking to their riches, and they were looking to material things of this world. They didn't consider the world that was to come. And you can try and increase your goods and make life as easy as possible for you down here. And you might even have a lovely savings account that you've put away for the future, and that's all well and good. But none of that, mark my words, none of that will come with you when you die. None of it, only your soul will go into eternity, not your riches that you've built up. You see, not only must you see your need, but you must sense your need. You must sense that you're in danger. You see, the warning call comes to you, and the gospel rings in your ears again, and the message is that there's danger ahead, and you're on the broad road that leads to destruction. And if you don't sense that you're in imminent danger, you could end up in eternity unprepared. And the wooing voice of God is inviting you to come to Christ, and it's still there. And the welcoming voice of God is there telling you that there's mercy found with Christ. And there's the warning voice of God pointing out that if you don't open the door, it'll be hell for eternity. Do you not sense your need for the Lord Jesus? Do you hear his voice? He that hath an ear, let him hear, saith the Spirit. I see my need. I sense my need. But you must show your need. Receiving Christ as your Savior, it's not going through a process. It's not getting baptized. It's not doing good works. There's only one thing you must do this evening. By faith, you need to open the door of your life, and you need to bow the knee, and you need to repent of sin, and apologize to God, and repent for the wrong things that you've done that have broken his law, and invite Christ in, and thank him for dying on the cross for you, and bearing your condemnation there on the cross, and he'll come in. You see, who is knocking at your door? It's the Savior. Are you going to open the door? You see, the final question we need to ask is, do you want a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, once you understand who it is that knocks your door, it's the sovereign God of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's knocking your door. And once you do respond to that knocking and that voice at the door, and once you let him in, you right away, it's straight away, it's just like that. Just in a moment, you establish a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what being a Christian is all about. It's about having a personal and vital and eternal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a personal relationship. The Lord Jesus says in the verse, I will come to him. Listen, if you trust the Lord Jesus for forgiveness of sins tonight, if you cry out to him in repentance this evening, maybe you'll say to me, well, how do I know that he's coming? How do I know, Peter, if I invite him into my life, how do I know that he's came in? Well, it's very simple. We know because he said he would. And he is the Amen. He's the true. The Savior says, I will sup with him and he with me. You know, supper in those days was the main meal of the day. And what would have happened is it would have been later on in the evening. And they would have enjoyed their meal, and there would have been no rush when they were eating their dinner. It would have gone on into the small hours of the morning, and they would sit and they would talk about the day right into the early hours. No rushing away, no places to rush off to. And that's the picture here. You open the door and Christ says, I'll come and I'll share with you, and you will share with me. See, that's the thing, when you open the door, you gain a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Your failures will be matched with his forgiveness. Your fear will be matched by his courage. Your weakness in life will be matched by his strength. And he'll carry you through. Don't believe me? When this meeting ends in a few moments' time, you turn and you ask a few of the people around you if what I say is true. And I can guarantee you everyone will say absolutely. He's a wonderful Savior to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. How can you face another trial in this life without the loving Savior helping you through? How can you face the despair of life without Christ? How can you face the disappointments without Christ? How can you face death without Christ? I want to tell you the loveliest thing about this verse, and this should encourage God's children in this place tonight as well. When you do open the door and let him in, well, he's there for all eternity. You open the door and let him in. The verse talks about him coming in, but it never talks about him going out. In fact, right throughout the Bible, it tells us of God's pleas to let Christ in and have his way in your life. But he never leaves. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. I don't know if there's any art enthusiasts in, but some of you may have heard of the famous picture called The Light of the World. It's painted by Holman Hunt, and it portrays the Lord Jesus Christ thorn-crowned and carrying a lantern in his left hand, and he's knocking a closed door. It's said that the artist, after completing the picture, showed it to some of his friends who praised the merit of the painting. They were impressed with it. But one of them pointed out what they thought was an omission on the part of the artist, and said, you've no handle on the door. And the artist immediately turned back and he said, you forgot that the handle is on the inside. If you open the door of your life to Christ, he will open up his heaven to you. All it takes is to ask him in. And he comes to stay. And he comes to save. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, hear the words of Christ tonight, not this preacher. I can't save you. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ who can. Please hear his words. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me.